financially affordable. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today to enroll now. Leave your contact info for someone to reach out to you today. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will be glad you did. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our issue today, keep Florida safe from pot. We need to understand that some will say, well, the election, the voting is a long way off. No, it's not. It comes by more quickly than we would ever dream possible. And I believe it's time we start now letting the nation, letting our state know exactly what we're in for if this amendment to legalize recreational marijuana in the state of Florida, if that amendment passes. And by the way, they've got to have 60% of the voters. Last year, 2014, I believe it wound up being like 56%. Very, very close to passing last time. Now they've gone back, the pot industry, they've gone back and they've modified the amendment, the wording of it. And we've got with us today Lawrence Perkins. Lawrence has a website to keep Florida fresh. And that website has a lot of information, statistical data, and articles in relationship to the dangers of marijuana and what it will do. But Lawrence, speak to us today. What is it about the new amendment wording that is so different than last time? And what is the difficulty, as you see it, with the wording? And what does it say and what is it not saying?
Well, one of the things that they have done this time is to try to take away some of the arguments that people had against it. We've all been places where you could not get away from the marijuana aroma. Mm-hmm. I know years ago, I lived in Atlanta, and it was so pervasive that even though it was not legal, that some places you just could not escape that aroma. One of the things that the sheriff here in Duval County talked about how he hated that aroma and that smell. Well, one of the things that they've done is change the wording and try to deceive the public into telling you, hey, that's going to be prohibited going forward. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to smoke it in public places. Well, that's really going to be very, very difficult to enforce. They've also talked about the packaging and the targeting of youth in that. And that is all well and good, but it really doesn't deal with the issues of the actual use and the damage that it does, that through the normalization of this horrible substance. And again, I'm going to focus on the THC because how you ingest the THC can be done in a lot of ways, whether it's smoking or whether it's through gummies or whether it's something that looks like candy or something that you drink, any number of different mechanisms. The end result is the same. The cannabinoid receptors can be damaged, especially in young adults and youth, and that damage is not something that is reversible. You talk about the temporary issues that you have in encumbrance of using alcohol, but those are temporary. They're not, in many cases, when you're using a THC substance. And that substance, can not only damage and reduce the functionality of your brain, reduce the functionality of your cognitive ability, but reduce your IQ permanently, and also retard your judgment and other aspects of things. One of the things that that we've seen is the number of accidents that occur and the number of deaths that occur due to people being intoxicated with marijuana are significantly higher by a factor of 10 than alcohol, mm-hmm. or the number of deaths that are result from those. The number of accidents from alcohol related intoxication are higher, but the number of deaths that occur are by a factor of 10x. And it's profoundly different.
Lawrence, I'm looking at part of the information about the ballot initiative that they're working up. Headline is, with enough signatures, marijuana amendment will be reviewed by the Florida Supreme Court. A ballot initiative to permit recreational use of marijuana for adults in Florida is obtaining enough signatures. And I look at this and it says, the initiative allows adults at least 21 years of age to possess, to purchase, and to use marijuana for non-medical purposes. It also, listen to this, it prohibits marketing toward children and smoking or vaping in public. Now, what part of that is deceptive?
Well, it's all deceptive.
Yeah.
there are things that that you really need to realize is that 2 ounces of marijuana is, for a heavy user, that's about 2 months of use, mm-hmm. for a heavy user. And to allow someone to have 2 ounces in their possession is a profound number. That's double what California allows. That's double of virtually every other state. What they're trying to do is, again, normalize the possession and use of that and the distribution of it.
Mm-hmm. But if they're saying in the proposed amendment that it will, initiative allows only the 21-year-olds above to purchase marijuana for non-medical purposes and prohibits the marketing toward children and smoking or vaping in public, that's a little deceptive from my perspective, because it doesn't talk about eliminating a child going into a vape shop or other places and getting the little packets like Sweet and Low and putting in the drink, or buying the, or getting the gummy bears or the gummy chocolate chip cookies that's got laced with marijuana, etc. Speak to it from that standpoint.
Dr. Youngblood, one of the things that I remember growing up, and I remember, boy, smoking was absolutely prohibitive for anyone under 18 years old, yet it was everywhere. Mm-hmm. When you were in school, alcohol was, when I was growing up, was under 18, you couldn't have it, but it was everywhere. Mm-hmm. Not everyone did it, but it was available. This is even easier to make pervasive in the schools and everywhere else, whether you're at your in a hospital or a medical organization, or whether you're in a grocery store or you're anywhere else, you can't tell when someone has been using these non-smoking options.
Yes, that's the whole point. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I recall that I think it was Philip Morris used to have Camel Joe as a cartoon character.
Yeah.
And that the federal and state government sued Philip Morris on the premise that they were luring children because of Camel Joe. That just reminds me of that whole thing there. Anything that's done in a colorful gummy bear there, a child's going to misperceive it as candy if they get their hands on it. So that alludes to an earlier thing that Lawrence brought up. The second point is, as I recall, that whenever they were doing the medical marijuana, that one of the big lawyers, you see his face on the billboards all the time there, had written a provision into the law that said personal growth. In other words, if you grew your own, it was against the law because you were taking away tax fund revenue from the state. And I knew that a lot of the lobbying against that bill last time there, they used that particular segment of the law itself that said it would be illegal for you, even though you can use it, it would be illegal for you to grow your own for personal use. Is there any type of proviso in this current bill that's being proposed for amendment within this within the language of the written voter?
In the current proposed amendment, they do not have some of those objectionable areas, and so they're trying to streamline this so that it gets past a lot of those objections in the past. And again, one of the things that is still there, though, is that 2 ounces is generally considered a vast amount. Typically, most casual users would take 1/8 of an ounce or 1/4 of an ounce, which would last a week or two. 2 ounces is a significant amount. But again, to normalize the fact that you have the THC in your blood system and to say that it's a constitutional right for you to recreationally have those attributes for any blood test or anything that, that an employer might try to utilize to screen individuals, to take that off the table and then make be aware that, again, the world has changed a lot in the last year. The amount of THC consumption that has moved to non-smoking formats are profound. And if we do not protect Florida and protect the citizens of Florida from normalizing the fact that they can have concentrations of THC in their bloodstream and it's constitutionally protected, then the door, there just are no doors on the barn anymore.
May I make an observation, sir?
Yes, sir.
2 ounces is, if I remember my math correctly, that's 1/8 of a pound. If you look at your home cabinet for your basil or your oregano or whatever there, that's a minuscule amount inside of one of those little McCormick jars. So that's a considerable amount of product. I don't know what its volume would be, but in leaf form and being dried, it would constitute a pretty large bag.
It is.
I don't, that seems just obscene to me.
And to make that as part of the constitutional right for someone to be able to possess that, it's impossible for someone to be able to use that in a short amount of time. You'd have to be sharing it or spreading it around.
That's the key to it, sharing it or spreading it. That's absolutely it. Jim, one of the things that it demands our attention today is to recognize they're on the fast track. And one of the things that's taking place, and I want Lawrence to address that for your edification and for our listeners, is that of the petitioners, the ones that are getting the petition signed. Lawrence, tell us about that. Before you speak, Lawrence, let me read this. The organization, that's talking about the marijuana organization, filed an emergency motion to a federal judge May the 30th, saying that the state's new prohibition on non-resident petition circulators has injured the organization's number of people to carry out the message to the public. The law, signed promptly by Governor Ron DeSantis, increased restrictions and potential penalties to groups seeking to purpose a ballot initiative. One such restriction is limiting each volunteer on collecting only 25 petitions, which Smart and Safe Florida, which is a pot group, argued in their motion already has limited the capability of their volunteers to network. So, Lawrence, for the benefit of Jim and for others listening, what does this say? What have you found about the petitioners? What are they getting paid? Are they in-state, out-of-state? And the law that was passed, signed into law May the 30th, that says you can get one person can only get 15 petitions. What's that doing? Is that still valid? Was that overturned?
That's been stayed by a judge here in the state of Florida.
Okay.
And so that restriction is ignored.
Okay.
One of the things that that these out-of-state organizations have been done is, and I've met a number of myself, both from New York as well as Texas, where they have gone as groups and tried to saturate different areas of the state. The individual that I spoke with that talked about how much he earned, he was getting paid $60 an hour plus his expenses. They utilized these teams from out of state because they did not have any local ties. Therefore, they would not know anybody necessarily, and they were able to move them, whether it's in Miami-Dade or in Duval, Jacksonville, to Hillsborough and Tampa, to any place that they felt that they could go in and saturate an area and get targeted signatures, and that's what they've done. And as of August, at the beginning of August, they had about three-quarters of the total that they were going to need of the $880,000.
They need $880,000. I believe they had something like 671,000 or someplace in that neighborhood as far as the numbers. Is that correct?
They had more than three-quarters of what they needed.
Yes.
And with quite a bit of time left before the deadline. But that law that was passed to make sure that that this type of invasion to get non-citizens of Florida to come in and solicit those, that law that was passed and signed by the governor has been stayed by a judge here in the state of Florida.
Unfortunately. Jim, it deserves our attention and our prayer and our consideration. And this is the reason we're raising the warning flag early on so that Christians, churches, and pastors can start speaking about it in the church, in the Sunday school classes, from the pulpit, warning the members of the church, warning those that are attending, warning our state to say no, no, no to what is about to happen if this is passed. If this is passed, it will make, I believe, the state of Florida become the pot capital of the nation. Lawrence, speak to that for a moment before Jim goes. How many do we have visiting the state of Florida each year, and how many of those would come seeking to get their pot?
Well, but last year there were approximately 142.9 million visitors to the state of Florida. That's real grape for these retail or these sellers. There's 23.4 million residents here in the state of Florida, and to go in and have them exposed is one thing, but the real market is those visitors, and that this would become a destination for cannabis consumers.
Yes. So, Jim, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
We need to keep praying, keep looking up, and recognize that the future of our nation, the future of our state, lies in the hands of Christians, conservatives, and patriots that are willing to stand up, speak up, and say no. Thank you so much for your call. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go with your question or comment, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. God bless you and our guest this morning.
Thank you
for the topic you're dealing with. I have my little comment. I'm saying that our arch enemy, Lucifer, is no fool. In his subtleness, I would think that drug abuse, the drug culture, is one of his main targets or instrument to destroy population and to gather the multitudes who will share in his domain in hell. Because destroying the minds is set up straight candidates for hell, unless the deliverance that God can give. We'll hear the testimony of those who speak this morning. When I think of addiction, the desire, you would think of like the calories, so those of us who want to cut back on calories, the sugar, the crave for sugar can be so powerful. You don't want the calories, yet the pull to have the ice cream or the cake, whatever, cookie. But can you imagine now when it is laced, when we lace the drugs in with the cookies and gummy bears and things to attract the kids and set them up, not just for the taste, the desire for sugar now, but with the ingredients from the narcotics, the pull. Oh, it's all set up by the powers of darkness to destroy the minds of our children. And I would just like to say that I think that the enemy, the target, is the destruction of the culture. lawlessness and indiscipline, breakdown of law and order. That is the main thing that the powers of darkness is working on to get candidates for hell. I see it in my country, Jamaica, who has struggled with marijuana. I can't believe that after struggling with marijuana in the early, now it is not no longer what we had struggling with in the 60s. It's something quite different now, the potential. So we are in big trouble with the powers of darkness. And the work towards whatever they're doing is to destroy the culture in lawlessness and in discipline. So it's all tied in with the hating the policemen, police, targeting them, kill them, destroy, break down law and order, and in discipline. So I'm just praying that Florida citizens will be aware and wake up and try to protect Florida from going the way, although, you know, that's the best we can do at this time.
Because absolutely. Lily, hold your thought just a moment. Let Bertha Lawrence respond to that.
You know, Lily, I think you couldn't be more right about the sinister activities that are going on that we can't necessarily see, but we see them plainly if we look. One of the things that you can imagine that has happened in these school systems, the things that are being taught to school children are just an aberration in many of our thoughts and minds. If you talk about, if you open the barn door to cannabis use or THC use and use unrestricted use on these school campuses and things, the normalization and the impact that has of the individuals that are going to be teaching your children, mm-hmm. and the things that the teachers' unions right now shield the teachers from. It's frightening to think of where you pull that thread and where it goes. The things that we also see in the broader exposure in the markets, and again, whether you're talking about daycare or you're talking about other things, and you see and hear terrible stories of things that are people that are not doing and being good stewards of the jobs that they're in place of. Placing a constitutional amendment is a profoundly destructive act.
Absolutely.
For our future.
Absolutely. Lily, thank you so much for your input.
Dr. Youngblood, one last point before you. I would just ask you that what the problem is that with some of us, we are backward with the technology. So could you please give us the vital numbers in Florida and Duval County that we need to have? So that because some of us are really hopeless with the technology to help ourselves.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Lawrence, we'll talk about that. Thank you, Lily, for your call, and God bless you. Lawrence, speak to that.
Okay. One of the things that we have, since so many things have changed since last November, and we've seen what they're doing and they're acting, we're trying to reconstruct, and there are a number of different sites that will be beneficial and useful over the coming months. We're rebuilding right now the KeepFloridaFresh.com site. It'll be at KeepFloridaFresh.net. We have an active site now that goes to a Facebook page if you go to KeepFloridaFresh.com, and we'll post things that are useful. But as she has requested, we'll have contacts and other pieces in place over the coming months as we try to get things ready to make sure that people are educated and they have the tools and the insight and information that they need so that they can understand the threats and how we can act on those.
Yes. Lawrence, thank you so much. And again, thank you for being with us today. I've got some other questions as we start to wrap up the broadcast today. Lawrence, would you please outline for our listeners just how dangerous marijuana is physically? I'm not talking about just what it does outwardly from the standpoint of what I call rape, robbery, mayhem, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, mass shootings, et cetera. What does it do? What are the physical problems with an individual consuming marijuana?
Dr. Youngblood, of course, there are neurodevelopment risk in young people, and actually for mothers that are consuming cannabis, the development of the neurosystems can be profoundly affected by the damage to the cannabinoid receptors and the ability to think and function. Of course, there are social and behavioral changes. We've seen things that where individuals that have lost their inhibition on on things. You know, here in Florida, we know the Pulse nightclub was a heavy cannabis user.
Yes.
We know that Parkland was the high school was a heavy cannabis user, and all these things. But that social and the behavioral changes. Not only that, but the social interactions with individuals are very difficult. There are physical health risks. We know that there's increased heart rate. There are respiratory issues from smoking and vaping. There are any number of things, and I'd like to come back to one of those at the end here. But you have impaired academic capability. That means in those schools, you have individuals that are encumbering themselves by bringing gummies to school, and they're not functional and not functionally able to learn during those windows of intoxication when they're sitting in there in class. Mm-hmm. And you can't catch up. There's an addiction and dependence. Approximately 20 to 30% of young adult users develop dependencies very, very, very quickly, and they have cravings that they can't and don't have the personal strength to retard. The mental health risk, the increased ranks of anxiety, depression, psychotic disorders, schizophrenia. Again, I would invite anybody to go to the Amen Clinic and see some of the things that they talk about. The cognitive impairment, the permanent loss of mental capability, is significant. One of the things that we'll talk about maybe another time, but the methyl groups, that the methylization of DNA creates permanent problems in the DNA of an individual. And this is something that people can Google and find out more about. But
some of the major problems that you touched on there, with it impairs memory, reduces attention span, harms the normal functions of the physical body, causes deficits in verbal learning, causes difficulty, as you said, in decision-making, making wrong decisions, schizophrenia, anxiety, depression, psychotic disorders, and other major serious mental illnesses and deficiencies. And all of this, Lawrence, as I have done my research on what happens in the state of Colorado, in the state of California, it causes major problems in the home, the family, with spousal abuse, with the spending of the money on drugs, and the homes being foreclosed, etc., etc. Major social, physical debilities and disorders. So what are your recommendations to our listeners? I say we need to pray. What else do we need to do? We've got about 10 seconds.
We need to make sure that we equip ourselves with an understanding of what those society impacts are of these individuals that have personal choice that can destroy lives. We need to equip ourselves with that understanding and then prepare for action steps over the next months.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Look forward to meeting you once again as we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay.